Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Continually be in my mouth. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is February 8th, 2020. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Carrie Rogers, which I'm filling in for Dr. Maria Carey, who is President and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries, as well as the host of this show. Announcements. Amazing Grace School of Ministries has joined with Richard Daniel Hinton University. Registration for classes is still open. Dr. Maria Carey is the Dean of the School of Pastoral Care and Christian Counseling. Dr. Carey will be teaching classes on Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., starting March 2020. You can register at Monumental Faith in their bookstore located at 2750 West Columbus Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, or by contacting Dr. Carey. For more information, please contact Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584. Tune in to hear new exciting lessons for the month of February, dealing with the pain of grief and loss, and my enemy has been destroyed. This lesson topic is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 26, then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Mark 9, 43 through 48. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than have two hands to go to hell into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is quenched. I read these scriptures all from the King James Version. Just a recap from last week, we was talking about grief and loss. But how do we cope? So let's find out. How do we cope with something that is difficult? How do we manage? And most importantly, how do we survive? Grief is part of our life, and in order to move forward after death, we must understand the process. The lesson during the month of February will deal with understanding the grieving process, because there is a process. So let's begin. First of all, what is grief? Grief is the intense emotional suffering caused by loss. Grieving is like entering into the valley of shadows, which is not fun and very painful. Grief is defined as a deep mental anguish that arises from bereavement. And you said bereavement. Bereavement is defined as suffering from the loss of a loved one. But all bereavement may not be to the suffering of a loved one. Bereavement can also be the loss of a relationship, loss of a role, loss of a sense of control, loss of security, and loss of orderly world view, physical, psychological, and emotional. Grief is the process response to the loss in your life, which that grief can be manifested in the following areas: physical, psychological, emotional, social, functional, authority, and spiritual. Our response to grief. One can even say that all our lives are a process of grieving. Life is a process of establishing attachments and then separating from those significant others. The process of attachment, loss, and grieving are a continuous cycle, which begins the moment we separate from the womb. Grief is also tension that holds life together. Grief allows for wholeness and is essential to our response to life. There are also levels of grief, which are caused by how one experiences the loss. You have sudden death, no warning. Therefore, the loved one is not able to say their goodbyes. Grief is not always just about death. It can also be a divorce. When divorce happens and one party just simply walk away without saying anything. Some don't even know that the divorce was even going to happen. They just walk away. Then there's life transitions. Then there's disasters or misfortunes. Grief is a complex set of emotions that are normal. Experience their loss physiologically, through feelings, thoughts, and attitudes, socially, as they interact with others, physically, as it affects their health. The stages of grief. There are five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. When you said denial, a lot of time it's denial or shock. It's the sense of feeling numb. I'm just not even going to deal with it. Well, we already know it's something that has to be dealt with. Then there's anger. Anger in its release towards others. Bereaved may even be angry with God. How can God do this or how can God do that? May even become preoccupied with memories of what has been lost and withdrawn from time. I can recall hearing people say, man, I can't believe they're gone. I just seen them. I was just with them. I was just with them on yesterday. Then there's bargaining. In case of impending death, the grieving individual may bargain with God for more time. Oh, God, just let them come back just for one more day, one more hour. A time of negotiation. Then there's depression, a time of sadness, disconnection, isolation, no longer wanting to be a part of the activities that they used to be part in. They may also blame themselves for somehow not preventing the loss. The feeling of being disorganized and do not know how to move on with their lives. We've heard the saying, idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, Isaiah 26:3 tells us that thou will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we have to shift our minds to stay on the Lord. I know we have jobs, we have families we have to take care of, we have things that has to be done, but we have to give God some of our time. Have to say, Lord, keep my mind, because he just told us he'll keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we can't let our minds just stray too far. Then there's acceptance. Reorganize your life and reconnecting with those that surround you. The key part is the ability to learn how to feel and express the pain more truly without denial and avoidance. Now, today's lesson. What is it about the grave? When you said the grave, what is it about death that we fear? The reality is that this is eternity. We all must face. However, the point is that there is a final destination after we die. The question is whether it's hell or heaven. According to the Gospel of Mark, Christ alluded to hell or heaven. Christ emphasized eternal punishment. The phrase mentioned three times was, their worm does not die. Christ also warned five times, and the fires is not quenched. This phrase, their work shall not die, refers to the fact that after death, a human body encounters a natural decaying process and can actually produce worms that feeds off the body. The implication, however, is that the spirit of the person will never be destroyed, but will endure forever. In Matthew 25:46, Christ said, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, the Greek word eternal and everlasting means everlasting is perpetual and never ending. Jesus spoke of an everlasting life for the righteous and everlasting punishment for the wicked. Everlasting means just what it says, everlasting, nothing more and nothing less. The reason that the afterlife is everlasting is that all humans consist of three parts. You have the spirit, soul, and the body. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and this is the King James Version. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this means that the body returns to the dust. However, the human spirit is eternal and cannot be destroyed or annihilated. You say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Genesis, we find that God made us. He created male and female. He, God. He formed Adam from the dust, the woman from the side of Adam. Then God breathed on mankind, Adam, and life began. Once God breathed on us, he gave us his spirit. In addition, the Bible tells us that the angels are spirits, Psalms 104:4. Who maketh his angels spirit? His ministers of flaming fire. So a spirit, whether an angel or a human spirit, can be separated from God, but it can never be annihilated. On the other hand, since the body was made from the earth, it returns back to the earth, Genesis 3:19. Genesis 3:19, the King James Version, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. So when people die, we're talking about death, the human spirit departs from the body and returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 2 Corinthians 12:1-4, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to vision and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is it not lawful for a man to utter? That was 2 Corinthians 12:1-4, the King James Version. The Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And it seems like when we're viewing those that have died in the casket, that they are so peaceful. But yet there seems to be another element that's missing. And I believe that is the spirit that is missing. We've been dealing with the issues of death, grief, and loss as our loved ones leave this earth for eternity. The reality is that everyone has to die. And if they don't have a relationship with God, then what would be their final destination? The word Sheol is used 65 times in the Old Testament. It is translated as hell 31 times in the Bible, 31 as the grave, and 3 times as the pit. The word Hades translated as hell 10 times in the New Testament. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 15:55, where the English word is grave. By definition, the word Hades is the region of departed spirits of loss, of the lost. Hell is a reality. What is Paul trying to say in 2 Corinthians 5:8 when he states, we are confident, yes, we absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Saints that are prepared to die, their souls and spirit go up and not down, and they enter into their eternal rest in the heavenly kingdom, where all that dead in Christ will remain until the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and this is the King James Version. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Don't you want to be in that number? Amen. So because God foreknew us before we were born, Jeremiah 1:5, it was the Almighty who created us in our mother's womb, in the womb, Psalms 139:13. God also ordained the season in which you would live, Esther 4:14. And the Creator has also numbered your days, Psalms 90:12. God has also created you tripartite, being with the body, soul, and spirit. When God formed you, he made you one of a kind. You have a distinctive set of fingerprints, footprints, and a unique design in your eyes. Even your teeth has imprints that are distinctly yours. And when you speak, your voice tone and inflection have a pattern that distinguishes your voice from all others. Each human being has a gene pool in his or her DNA that marks that person as a single being different from all others. No two are alike. So let's talk about this. The first man, Adam. Adam was created without a sin and sickness. However, when he rebelled against God and God denied Adam access to the tree of life, then sin led to the physical decline, which eventually concluded in physical death. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, you can read that, Romans 5:12. Here it is. Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into this world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. No one is without sin. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God is able to forgive. Hallelujah, he's not like man. God forgives and he throw it into the sea of forgiveness. And we can ask God to forgive us. We can repent anytime, any day. You don't have to be in the church. You can be right there in your living room, right there in your car, wherever you may be. You can ask God to forgive me of my sins. And he's not like man. He's able and he's willing to do just what you ask him. Adam was 130 years of age when his son Seth was born. He lived to be 930 years of age. Thus, he experienced a spiritual separation from God, a death in his spirit, long before his physical death. And this is Genesis 5:3, and then the fifth verse. The third verse says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. The fifth verse says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When we attend a funeral, all we see is the physical shell of the person lying in the coffin. What most unbelievers are unaware is that the real person departed from the shell at the moment of death. The Bible is very specific in revealing that each human being is a tripartite being. The body is simple, the physically flesh part of the person. The soul and the spirit are interconnected. And at times, it is difficult to explain the difference between the two. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, here in Hebrews, the word soul is nephesh and alludes to the life force. According to Leviticus 17:11, the life, is Hebrews nephesh, of the body is the blood. The common Hebrew word for spirit is ruach and can be translated as wind, breath, and spirit. Thus God formed man, he molded a physical body. When God breathed into man's nostrils, Adam became a living soul, Genesis 2 and 7. God called Adam a living soul and not body because it was God's plan for him to live forever in the Garden of Eden. And that's Genesis 3 and 22. King James Version says, "And the Lord God, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever." The soul and spirit are a part of the breath of God, which gives us life in our bodies, and life eternal. The spirit of a man is the eternal part of all humans that will never die, but will spend eternity either with God or separate from God. So physical death is not simple when the heart stops beating or when we cease breathing and shut our eyes for the last time. It is according to scriptures when the soul and spirit are separated from the physical body. Ecclesiastes 12, 5 through 7. "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." We are living to one depart this earth to be with Jesus. Therefore, we must live without sin to see him eternally. So we are living to live again. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, we thank you, God, for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord God, you are majestic. You are God and God alone. Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins today, knowingly, Lord God, and the sins that we did unknowingly. God, even those that we willfully done and only you know about them, God. Lord, we thank you for this new lesson, Lord God, dealing with the pain of grief and loss, but my enemy has been destroyed. Lord, you know what we are in need of before we even ask, God. Lord God, help us in our time of need to know that you are able. Lord God, thank you that you're able and that you are God. You are God and you can do anything but fail. Lord God, look on the listeners, name by name, one by one, God. Lord God, open our understanding naturally and spiritually. Lord God, look on the Harris family today and let them and help them to understand, God, that their mother belongs to you. We thank you for her 87 years of life, God. Lord God, we ask you to just touch and heal the hearts, Lord God. Heal the broken hearts, Lord God, of your people, of the church family, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to look on your people that are suffering from the pain of grief and loss. Encourage our hearts. Keep us in the center of your will. Lord God, keep Dr. Carey and her family in your prayers. Lord God, everyone that is under the sound of my voice, give them clear vision to hear from you and comfort them in their time of need. You know what everyone needs collectively and individually. Do it for us, God. Do it for your glory. Do it according to your will, God. We are giving you the glory. We're giving you the honor, and we're giving you all the praise in Jesus' name. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for tuning in this morning to Blog Talk, where Dr. Maria Carey is the host, and standing in today is yours truly, Missionary Terry Rogers. I pray that you heard something to one but one word that will help you in your spiritual walk. Tune in on next week, same time. Dr. Carey will be back on. Be blessed of the Lord and enjoy the remainder of your weekend.